I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Now, 92.9 FM ESPN presents Memphis's biggest sports columnist.
You ain't got to do nothing, homeboy. You ain't writing nothing. No, you ain't writing nothing. I ain't letting him write. He ain't getting no interviews.
It's the award-winning Jeff Calkins from the Daily Memphian and the Jeff Calkins Show.
I'm good.
On 92.9 FM ESPN.
Gentlemen, this is something they call a groundbreaker. So let me first apologize to the shots and the ties for your makeup. 'Cause I'll make you ugly as soon as it drops. We're on a rampage, bubbles popping up before you know it. There's rubble in the dust 'cause we'll be pushing it up. Somebody say, gentlemen, what you're about to witness is no illusion. And now we got the bass banging from head to Buckingham Palace. They're all moving.
Happy Tuesday, everybody. Remember last, what was it, a week ago or so, Jeffrey, when I wasn't going to say we made it to start a college football because it didn't feel like it wasn't a full slate,
right,
as they say, right?
Mm-hmm.
I think we can say we made it.
I think we can, too. It's game week.
It is game week in the NFL.
Yeah.
Thursday night, you will be able to sit in front of your TV and watch an actual.
Four TVs.
How many do we got?
It's
what's
a working.
What's the season look like this season?
Listen, Jeff, we're putting the hay in the barn this week right now. We got it. Yesterday was
a new play. You got a new studio. You've moved.
Exactly. And yesterday we got the office set up. We're ready to go. Now the project for the rest of the week is we got to get those TVs ready to go. It's looking right now like a three TV setup. I know it sounds
very
like,
modest.
Yeah, but that's hey, that's how we're playing this year. You know, we're showing
back to
some
basics.
Humility. Exactly.
Back to base fundamentals.
Right, we're not, listen,
you didn't have the off
we didn't
season.
Yeah, we can't get fancy. We gotta build an identity this year.
It's still sneaking up on me a little bit.
I know
the NFL. And
we had our first fantasy draft last night, and nobody was ready.
That's the thing. It's just,
nobody.
There is a rhythm to this, and there's preseason games, and there's like. And in the end, everything is overshadowed by the fact that we are aware that this doesn't matter as much. It's just true.
Yes.
I think it's like someone on my, you know, I am at heart a total Buffalo Bills geek, and I was on the Bills message board this weekend, like I am, and someone says, "Is anyone having a harder time getting into this? Because it's supposed to be a big season for Buffalo."
Yes.
This is the season when the Bills are supposed to knock off the Patriots in the AFC East, finally, right?
Yep.
And yet it is. Like, let's be honest. If you were going to win an NBA championship and just won, you would not want to win it this way, right, in the bubble.
No, I completely agree.
And if you're winning a Stanley Cup, you wouldn't want to win it this way. And if this was the year you were winning the Super Bowl, you wouldn't want to win. Like, it's just a, it is. It's a little bit, it's a little diminished. It just is. It's also, however, here.
Yes.
And I can't freaking wait. Of all the things that are returning, it is the Colossus. It is the Kingpin. It is, although you see today, Eric Trump tweeted, football is officially dead.
Oh, okay, officially?
It's officially dead.
Okay.
Football's officially
dead. Well, hang on, let me write that down.
Football, write this down.
Okay.
According to Eric Trump, football is officially, doesn't seem dead. I'll be honest. Like, if you want to say Navy football is officially dead, it's not even that. It's not dead. It took a mortal blow last night. It turns out
if you don't live tackle during all of training camp, turns out apparently you'll have some trouble tackling.
There's some crappy games over the weekend.
I think that's going to be a theme.
Why is one team, like, here's what I don't understand. If there are going to be crappy games poorly played, that's fine. But why do we have blowouts? Like, shouldn't they be equally crappy?
I think what we're going to see is if a team, like, we saw this in a couple of games. If a team comes out and starts dominating early, then it's just going to kind of stay that way because there's no atmosphere and it's just kind of.
How about this? How about if a team depends on precision like Navy does?
Well, but we saw Army.
Yeah.
And Army just absolutely took it to NTSU.
You're right. Did I mention it's NFL week? It is NFL week. We'll be talking about that a lot today.
We got lines and everything ready to go.
We got lines. Jadeveon Clowney has a new home just down the road.
Yeah.
So that's interesting. Deshaun Watson got a new deal. It is funny how, like, Deshaun Watson gets a new deal and all anyone wants to talk about is the Cowboys.
Yeah.
But that is the most interesting part of it.
Like, sure.
Right? I mean, is that we didn't think Deshaun Watson was going to leave Houston. You knew he was going to get paid in Houston.
Yeah, and you knew the Texans were going to pay him. And, like, that – and it turns out Alvin Kamara, Jeff, he's not holding out. He's just been getting therapy for his back.
Exactly right.
Mm-hmm. Never held out in his life.
And Paxton Lynch was released. This may be the end for our man Paxton.
Never say die.
So, we have a lot of NFL to talk about. Today on the show, GP is going to join us in the next segment. We'll talk to him about all manner of things. Chris Harrington will join us straight up at 10 o'clock. NBA playoffs were interesting over the weekend. We'll talk to him about that. And then we'll probably go back to the NFL after that. Because I don't know if I mentioned this, but the NFL starts this week. Before we get to the NFL, I did think we would open by talking about what happened at the Liberty Bowl Saturday, which was your Memphis Tigers defeated Arkansas State. You watched the proceedings?
I did indeed.
Well, let's talk about the competitive aspect first.
Best game of the weekend. Like, I'm talking gameplay.
How did it look, by the way? Because I was really intrigued by, A, how it looked in terms of just the presentation, like without fans, which we'll get into at some point, the fan stuff. But just how it looked. And then also, how did Memphis come off? Like, were they complimentary? We're enough suckers that we still like to know what they say about Memphis, et cetera. So were they complimentary of the program? What did they focus on, et cetera? How was it as a TV product?
TV product, it's fine. I think the school was smart by understanding, like, when you saw the banners kind of at the lower level, like the lower level of the seating bowl, that works out well because for 75% of the plays, the camera's just going to kind of zoom in on the action, and that's really all you see.
Right. I saw both Drew Hill and Wolken tweeted that at some point over the weekend, Drew did during this game, I think Wolken did during another game, turns out college football works perfectly well. There isn't this great absence, which we thought, given the pageantry that is so much a part of college football, we thought it would be this gaping, you know.
Yeah, I disagree with that take. What I do agree with is when the play is going on, it looks fine. But I completely disagree in terms of it's still weird. You know, this isn't picking on Memphis because this was throughout. Some schools didn't even have their bands, but the Texas State game, they've got their band members. Each one was probably, 8 to 10 feet apart. Like, it's just weird not seeing everyone in full uniform and whatnot. And
you did miss the pageantry.
Yeah, I do. So I think it's part of the. I think it's part of the experience.
What'd you think of game day? Obviously, got a lot of credit for some of the things that happened on game day.
Sure,
but in terms of the atmosphere, like that. So someone said game day, it's like a caged animal because it's supposed to be out there with the people. I thought they did a really good job of making it happen. I mean, that
sure.
I did watch, but
I think that's kind of the theme of what we've seen pretty much with sports returning. I think most broadcasts are doing the best with what they got.
Right.
But in the end, you can only broadcast
what's in front of you. And were they complimentary of Memphis? What was the do you have your quintessential Beale Street shots when there's, you know?
I mean, they'll still do like the B-roll footage, because I'm convinced that a lot of like the Beale Street stuff, like all that stuff, I'm convinced is just file footage.
But you can't show Beale Street file footage because there's people jammed together in file footage.
I mean, there's like the stock, you know, we're back here on ESPN, like, and it's like a panorama shot. But I mean, you know, I didn't pay particularly close attention to,
right.
to okay. each and every return.
From a competitive aspect, listen, Memphis did not cover. You made that point.
Yes.
Memphis did not cover.
Mm-hmm.
Trailed after one.
Yep.
But from then on, looked much better. Certainly defensively in the second half, much better. It's weird to me is that I've covered games when Arkansas State has destroyed Memphis, most notably during the Larry Porter era at Jonesboro, when Hugh Freeze just demolished them. And so this idea that Memphis is supposed to roll over Arkansas State, it's fun because it shows how dramatically things have changed. Because let's be honest, this is at a time that the Arkansas State program has elevated itself into a consistently good program too. Really good, a good team last year,
yep.
returning most of their starters on offense, almost all of their starters on offense. So really good team last year. And so even as Arkansas State, it's not like Arkansas State is the dregs. Arkansas State is a good team. If they have bowl games, we'll likely go to a bowl game this year. Arkansas State's good.
No, to your point, since 06, the schools have played 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 times, and Arkansas State's 4-3.
Yeah, so the idea that you're disappointed because Memphis didn't just humiliate Arkansas State is a product of how dramatically that Memphis program has been transformed. And it's one of the great sports stories of the last 10 years in Memphis, how it has been transformed. You're now to the point where if you don't score 60, it's like, ooh, what happened to the offense? If you don't score 50 anyway, it's like, ooh, what happened to the offense? And if you don't blow someone out, it's like a cause for concern. So that's a compliment to Memphis, the fact that they can win the way they did, and people are like, huh, wonder what to think of that, right?
Sure.
So that's the first thing. Second thing is, defensively, you know, they were behind. They were. You saw COVID, right? You're down three starters who were on the who were listed to be starters. Three starters, two of them on defense, including a corner, and it was not explained why they did not play. After the game, Ryan Silverfield, who does not talk about COVID,
we didn't talk about injuries, Jeff.
Doesn't talk about injuries, mm-hmm. right? And then COVID is lumped in there.
Mm-hmm. We don't talk about injuries.
Some people are outraged that they don't say how many people with COVID. I actually am not. As long as the health department knows, I'm fine. Like, there are various people who are outraged that they don't say, well, we had 6 COVID cases, we had 10 COVID cases.
Can you
whatever.
Spot the gamblers?
My buddy Charles isn't a gambler. He thinks they should really, you know, whatever. He's not outraged because he didn't, you know, he got outraged about things in Memphis, but he believes as a matter of course you should just tell people how many people have COVID. But Ryan Silverfield said, oh, well, I'll just say this. He said, contact tracing can really get you. And that's the issue. We've talked about this earlier. You may or may not test positive yourself, but all of a sudden you're on the sidelines because you were near someone who did, and you therefore have to sit out. And to me, the biggest threat to the football season is that. It's not how many people are going to test positive. It's you get four people test positive, all of a sudden you've got 22 people, players, who have to sit out. You see right now at Tennessee, they had to suspend practice. Did they suspend practice?
Yes, for the weekend.
44?
Yeah, I think something like that.
Players couldn't participate. Well, that could easily happen in a game, and then you have no game.
Sure.
Right? So the defense was behind it. They hadn't been able to play. They didn't have spring practice. They have a new system, et cetera. They're going up against a veteran offense in Arkansas State. And yet they were just, like, Arkansas State did anything they wanted, particularly early. Later on, they got more heat on the quarterback and things improved. Got some turnovers. The turnover belt is back. So far, it doesn't. You're not like, man.
We've jumped the shark, by the way, on the turnover gimmicks.
Is dramatic. I don't care. I'm fine with it either way. I liked the top hat. Didn't you like the governor's top hat?
Yeah. I'm just saying in general, like, I saw like confetti being used on the sidelines this weekend. This was not pointed at this game specifically.
Right.
Just in general, like, they were like throwing parties on the sidelines for a turnover.
So the defense, you wouldn't say is. You wouldn't say, oh, my God, it's been transformed. It's dramatically better. It looks like the same Memphis defense, but it was down players and give them time, right?
Yes. I think particularly even in the first half, having covered Mike McIntyre, having been familiar with his work, I think he holds the philosophy, if my guys don't know exactly what to do, he throws the play out. Like, so in the first half in particular, they were very vanilla, very base. And when an offense knows exactly what you're going to do, particularly an offense like Arkansas State.
It's experience that knows exactly what they want
right,
to do.
They can move the football. And in general, Memphis was playing, okay, keep everything in front of you, no big plays. And Arkansas State, that's why that first drive was very methodical. And the truth is, if they don't get a couple of, you know, there were a couple of questionable pass interference calls and whatnot, but that's the way the game goes. I think in general it was a decent strategy. It worked pretty well. Like, they were just making sure that they didn't have any massive busts that would translate into big plays that would essentially make the game a very, very uncomfortable game.
Well, and the truth of the matter is that if Memphis had done what it used to do offensively, then you'd say, instead of it being 37-24 and like, oh, that was closer than I thought, it would have been 63-24, right? And you said, nice effort by the defense. The 24 looks different when it's relative to 37 than it does when it's relevant to 73, which is when this offense was at its zenith, what it could have been, right? So I think, anyway, that's where I am on the defense. On the offense, listen, again, this shows where you are on the how the Memphis program has been transformed. You put up 37 points, get more than 4,500 yards of offense, you should be happy. Except this team puts up 50, and if you're going to have a defense that's kind of shaky, it depended on putting up 50. Like, that's how it won. It won by putting up 50. And so it's interesting to see how you feel about it. Brady White's just really good now. Like, there's no more. It was less than a year ago, half of you people wanted to bench Brady White. Like, just thought he was never going to do it, et cetera. He's totally in command, knows exactly what he wants to do. Threw four touchdown passes Saturday. Was one bad interception, honestly. It was a bad interception. But Brady White was Brady White. Then you've got DeMonte Coxey, who's like, there's going to be a bazillion completions between White and Coxey over the course of the year. He looks for them all the time. And then happily, Sean Dykes emerges, who was injured last year, emerges as a second weapon, right?
Yes.
10 catches, 2 touchdowns. Sean Dykes was really good.
I thought Brady was also decisive running the football.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
I'm going to get to this in just a second. He's just in control. No, he's totally in control.
He looked like a seventh-year senior.
He looked like a seventh-year senior with some talent, like, you know, a smart seventh-year senior.
I do think, like, last year we kept hearing, oh, more zip on the ball, more zip on the ball, and we didn't really see it. I did think the ball kind of jumped out of his hand.
Well, and so then we get to, like, and I'm going to sound like I'm nitpicking here. It's not nitpicking. It's when Kenny Gainwell left, there were people who said to me, no big deal. You just, come on, it's not that big a deal. They just, like, they always have running backs, right? That's what John Martin said that to me. They always have running backs. Listen, they always have running backs. It's not a big deal. You get Henderson, you get Pollard, you get Gainwell. Now they're going to get another superstar. And the truth of the matter is that Clark had 105 yards and didn't really get the ball in the second half. So again, like 100 yards is a good game. Good running back. Like really good running back. First running back running over people. Good running back. Their longest plays of the game were a fake punt. That was one. And two, a Brady scramble. I'm just used to a Memphis team that goes 70 yards, 70 yards, 70 yards, 70 yards, right? Like you blink, boom, they're gone. And that's not, I don't believe that's going to happen this year. I'm not saying there won't be any plays like that, but there will not be nearly as many plays like that. I believe that. I just don't think that they have the weapons that they've had the last couple of years. Now, you can win in some ways. If you win this way, it puts less pressure on your defense. And it's a little more methodical. You're not. It's not boom 70 yards. That, you know, your defense is back on the field again. Is that fair, or is that overreacting to one game?
I think it's fair from this perspective. I think what we saw Saturday was it's a question of eye test versus numbers. And here's what I mean by that. If you go and look at, can we both agree the way that the fourth quarter played out? They were just running out the clock. Like it felt like a the fourth quarter, they were just trying to get out.
Yeah.
Get out.
Yeah.
If you look at through the third quarter, the numbers that I look at the most, Memphis was averaging 6.8 yards per play. 2019 Memphis, care to guess what they averaged yards per play?
6.8 yards. 6.8
yards per play. They were averaging on the ground per rush. They were averaging 6.2 yards per rush. That's better than what they averaged all last year, which was 4.7 yards per rush. And you look at defensively, or you look at third down conversions, they were 5
of 9. Here's the thing, though.
They didn't pass the eye test.
Here's the thing. No. It's not just that. The numbers from last year also include fourth quarters where they're playing out the string. So let's look at the numbers at the end of the game.
Okay. So the numbers at the end of the game, Memphis still finishes with 4.7 yards per rush.
Okay.
They were
and last year was what?
4.7, almost the exact same.
And yards per play?
Yards per play was a little bit down. They finished total yards per play, I think they were around 6 rather than 6.8. And, yes, they finished at 6.0 yards per play. And then defensively, that was where it really jumped up because Arkansas State went from averaging only 5 yards per play through three quarters to 5.5.
Right. Yeah, I'm not
But anyway, third down conversions, listen, Memphis was better.
Again, the fact that we are sitting here talking about ways in which this could have been more impressive, right? When I saw Arkansas State demolish Memphis,
yes,
shows how this program has grown. And it was a win. It was a nice win. It was a win. Now they have 2 weeks to get ready for Houston, which is perfect, right? You got 2 weeks now. Without a spring practice, without a, you know, traditional fall camp, with all the logistical challenges they had to come out and just take care of business, I think is a really good start for Ryan Silverfield and that program. Okay, competitively, that's where I am. In terms of the night, it was a gorgeous night. I mean, beautiful. Heartbreakingly beautiful, and I felt sick that 60,000 people weren't there. I saw Laird Veach before the game, and he said to me, and I did a Q&A with him that went up yesterday, and he said to me, he said, it's just amazing all the work that we did for this game much more work than for a typical game. And nobody's here.
Yep.
Like, we worked so much harder than for a Memphis Ole Miss game where you'd have 60,000 people. And here we're working so hard, all this work. And there's nobody here. And it was, as they say, the word of the year, surreal. And, you know, whoever you talk to, I talked to a woman holding up a sign, $10 parking. And she said normally she makes $500 on a good day, right? On a typical day. And now she's just holding up the sign. No one's coming.
Yeah.
No one's going to park there. The band was, they were 12 feet apart. They were all mic'd up, each instrument individually mic'd. Sounded good, honestly, with their miking system. And then you just looked at the, and I tweeted out pictures of the stadium, and it looks just empty. And this caused rage on the part of a certain number of Memphis fans. Now, I have a little bit of a hard time with it because I don't know how representative they are, how representative it is on social media, right?
Yes.
And listen, and it's not just that people were 12 feet apart. It's that there were whole sections that were empty. Like, you're thinking, what in the world? Like, why couldn't we get 10,000 more people in here? This is crazy, people were saying.
Or at least like 6,000 more to get it around 10. Like, yeah.
I do not discount the possibility that they could get a few thousand more people in there. And I'm not saying, whatever. There is a reason, and that's why I talked to Laird yesterday. There is a reason that there were empty sections. Those were not mandated by the health department. The empty sections were, A, guess what the main empty sections were?
The main empty sections?
There were two vastly empty sections. No, guess why they were empty.
The visitors?
No, visitors were good.
The parents and
students.
Yeah.
Students. It's like the students. Like, the nothing changes. It's whether you're 12 feet apart students or whatever, the student section's empty. Okay? And you have to. You're charging them student fees. You have to set aside some seats for students. So the student sections, two of the sections, if you saw sections that were entirely empty, two of the sections were empty because there were no students. And then the upper corners were empty. And that's because people moved. They were assigned up there. You know, they were assigned, go sit there. I mean, Laird didn't know that. He said, we're going to have to look into why there were some empty other sections. But don't think, if you saw areas where there were 40 feet between people, don't think that that was intentional. Don't think that that was planned. They sold all the tickets 12 feet apart. So if you saw giant sections and said, hey, they could put more people there. No, they already did put people there. Those people were there. They just weren't there. They either didn't come or they moved down or something, and they're looking into that. But this idea that if you saw giant sections and that's the reason you think 5,000 more people can go in there, no, those seats are assigned. They were already assigned. They were distributed. Now, could you get more in there? Ultimately, sure. And Laird is hopeful that you'll be able to get a few thousand more people in there. But that's all we're talking about. You're not talking about 25,000 people in there.
Right.
And I guess my larger point on this is that it enrages me. I find it just bewildering, absolutely bewildering, that people, and I think it must come from a place where you don't take the damn thing seriously. Like, you think the rules are just arbitrary, and it's easy to think that because you don't actually have any fear or respect for the virus, right? And so you're looking at this, and you aren't thinking, well, isn't it nice that we're safe because it's such a dangerous virus and we need to get back, we need to get kids back in school, whatever. What you're looking at and thinking, we could squeeze more people in there. It comes from a place of not anyone who is arguing that there could give you a lot more really doesn't take the damn. You, instead of erring on the side of caution, you're erring on the side of let's get more people in there. And the only thing that allows you to do that is that you really, 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 you may not say it's the flu, but you really don't take it that seriously. If you really took it seriously, you would not say what we should do is get everyone possible in there that we can. Whether there's 3,000, let's say we can get 3,000 more people in there. In the grand scheme of things, is that something to be enraged about? Our freaking schools are closed. Our economy's crushed. And we're arguing about 3,000 more people? Really? Who the hell cares? With all due respect, who the hell cares? 3,000 more. We're not getting 10,000 more in there. I hope 3,000 more. That would be 3,000 more people. Nice for the players. Nice.
Sure.
But in the grand scheme of things, it's totally irrelevant. And then what the same people do is they say, well, look at Tennessee, look at Ole Miss, look at whatever. They're going to have 25,000 people in there. Yes, look at Navy last night. They had none.
Well, and by the way,
look at Navy. You think they know what they're freaking doing? You all of you who respect the military, respect the decision-making, the courage, think they're soft at Navy? Well, think Navy's soft? Navy had no fans. You know how many NFL teams are going to have fans?
Zero.
Are none going to have fans?
Well, there's going to be about 10.
Not many. They don't have fans.
Yeah.
The Ivy League's not playing. The Big Ten's not playing. The Pac-12's not playing. The MAC's not playing. The teams that are playing, the NFL is playing, they don't basically have fans. Cincinnati doesn't have fans. Navy doesn't have fans. Yes, the single craziest people in America, the SEC, have fans.
Well, and Jeff,
so literally,
I would also
we
point
should
out,
go to the least.
They haven't played yet.
And they haven't played yet. We don't know.
We don't
so you literally
know.
Want,
they're
you,
telling people
the
they're
going
to have fans.
The most lunatic permissive. Who the hell thinks it's a good idea to put 25,000 people in a stadium in a pandemic? Come on. And that's what you're going to point to? It's funny, the same people who say, well, Tennessee does this, I literally say looking at Navy last night, and they just declare Navy to be stupid. But the Navy's not stupid. So, yeah, I think they can hopefully get a few thousand more people into the Liberty Bowl, and that would be nice. But the level of outrage about this is stupid, and it comes from a place of fundamentally not believing that the damn thing's serious. Because if you really believe that the damn thing was serious, 900 people die every single day. Now we're still killing people off at a rate of 900 a day. How many planes is that? We say plane is certainly 4 planes crashing every single day.
Well, it depends what size plane you want.
Yeah, but we'll say 200 people in a plane. Basically, like whatever, average. Most planes aren't filled to capacity,
especially
even in
today.
The old days. So I find it like, yes. They erred on the side of caution. So did the health department. And then people say, the other thing you hear is, they've never given us a good reason for 12 feet. Literally, they have. I may not think it's a good reason, you, Mr. Epidemiologist, sitting on your lazy boy, but it is a reason. They've told you why it's 12 feet. It's 6 feet at a restaurant because people are talking normally, not like me, yelling now. But at a game, singing, chanting, whatever, there they say the air particles go much further, so it's 12 feet. Like there is a reason. You may know better with your deep background in epidemiology, but
it's been extensive the last 6 months.
They literally say why it is. So don't tell me they don't. And so why? Listen, here's the other thing. You could say dining inside dining 6 feet, movies 6 feet. Why the hell can't we be 6 feet outside? Honestly, once again, I think that if you're asking that question, the question is, why are we letting people dine inside? To me, the question is more about the movie theaters and dining inside than it is about Memphis, just like the question is more about Knoxville and Ole Miss than it is about Memphis. They're erring on the side of caution during a pandemic. Is that really that outrageous? Really? And because you might have been able to get 3,000 more people in there. I said on Twitter I was going to stop arguing about it. And I am on Twitter because I was going back and forth with everybody. Because you just see people. They've never told you a reason. No,
sure.
They have told you a reason. And then you see the thing. Well, you realize that only 6% of the people who they're listing as deaths actually died of COVID. Once again, wrong. That's not true. They would not be dead but for COVID. Did they have other things wrong with them? Maybe the when you fill out a death certificate, you put down COVID,
right.
And then because pneumonia really often kills you when you have
right.
COVID, right? You put down pneumonia and maybe high blood pressure.
Sure.
And so, yes, only 6% said COVID, period. But that doesn't mean that COVID didn't kill them. Those people would be alive but for COVID. And so you just go down this rat hole of idiocy. And I don't know. Like it was, again, the University of Memphis doesn't complain. David Rudd doesn't complain. Laird Veach doesn't complain. So, if they're not complaining, if they understand that the most important thing is to get the pandemic control so the University of Memphis can have actual classes, I don't understand why the fans can't understand that.
I think.
All right, we're going to take a break. Yeah. Come back to talk to GP. 92.9 FM ESPN.
Hey, it's Jeff Calkins, and joining me today is Suzanne Hobbs, Director of Communications with Boomer Naturals. It's a U.S.-based wellness company that offers America's best-selling face masks. Thank you, Suzanne, for joining me today. Tell me about NanoSilver technology. How does that work?
NanoSilver is really effective when it's put in a cloth face cover, and studies are showing that masks have been a big way to help stop the spread. And at Boomer Naturals, we offer three layers of enhanced NanoSilver technology in the cloth. And there's a lot of benefits to having that, but they're also highly comfortable, breathable. They come in a lot of different sizes for adults and kids. And when you or your loved ones have to wear a mask, don't you want one that's going to give you real protection? Ours are also lab tested that show they're 99.9% antimicrobial. And that's a big deal.
Thanks, Suzanne. For more information and to order, go to BoomerNaturals.com or just stop by your local CVS pharmacy and be sure to ask for Boomer Naturals Nano Silver Masks and Gaiters. Boomer's got you covered.
Hey, everybody, this is Coach Penny Hardaway. When I want to throw a party for friends or family, I want it to be a taste of Memphis, and that means Corky's Barbecue. Order online or call ahead and pick up at their speedy drive-thru. And be sure to tell them that Penny sent you.
Hiring the best people can transform your business and help take it to another level. Indeed can certainly help you find those talented people. We have nearly three-quarters of all job seekers in the U.S., according to ComScore, and smart tools to help you find the best candidate for you. Indeed also provides flexibility to only pay for what you need and won't lock you into any long-term contracts. Claim your $75 credit to get more quality candidates fast when you post your first job at Indeed.com/high impact. That's Indeed.com/high impact. Terms and conditions apply.
So are you the type of guy that wants to look put together but doesn't want to spend hours shopping? I hear you. This is why there's Stitch Fix, your personal styling service that delivers hand-picked clothes right to you. Stitch Fix is simple and convenient. Sign up in just a few minutes. Try new styles in the comfort of your own home, and there's no subscription required ever. So, isn't it time to refresh your look? Get started today at StitchFix.com. Stitch Fix. Personal styling for everybody.
You're a smart, hardworking roofing contractor. Save time with the Beacon Pro Plus app. The Beacon Pro Plus app works round the clock for material ordering, checking order history, and automated rebate tracking, saving valuable time, especially when working remotely. Beacon proudly offers GAF Timberline HDZ shingles with a 600% larger strike zone nailing area for faster, more accurate installations. You work hard, now work smarter. Sign up for free at beaconproplus.com today.
This is time that matters. A window of time to help protect the ones you love. Your preteen benefits from staying up to date with their well visits. This is your window of protection. Schedule their well visit now. Brought to you by Merck.
In your city, Tennessee, frowns ruled the streets, and boredom could be found everywhere until the hit games rolled into town. Now a whole lot of fun is about to hit from the producers of Once Upon an Instant Game, The Good, The Fun, and The Winner, and the Tennessee Lottery comes, the Hit Games gang rides again. Fun is coming to your city. Hit Instant Games, only from the Tennessee Lottery. Game-changing fun. Please play responsibly.
You gonna eat the other half of that sandwich?
It's all yours.
Nice. Chips too?
Sure.
Cool. What's up with that Powerball ticket?
I didn't win.
Can I have it?
Why?
To enter the Powerball First Millionaire of the Year drawing. I could win a free trip to New York City or New Year's Eve hometown party package.
Then no, you can't have it.
Fine. But I'm keeping the sandwich.
Visit TNVIPrewards.com to enter the Powerball First Millionaire of the Year drawing from the Tennessee Lottery. Game-changing fun. Please play responsibly.
Memphis is known for its barbecue, but only one Memphis area restaurant actually serves world championship barbecue, and this is Gary Parrish reminding you that it's Memphis Barbecue Company, which has reopened at 50% capacity. They've instituted sanitation procedures greater than what the CDC and health department require, including a three-step approach to sanitizing tables so you can get back inside right now. So go order online at memphisbbqco.com.
Broadcasting live from the Triumph Bank Studios, invested in our communities, making banking easy for you. Let's talk growth. Triumph Bank. It's the Jeff Calkins Show on 92.9 FM ESPN.
You know, before I started doing spots for Cooper Systems, GP was doing spots for Cooper Systems. 360-9679, 360-9679 is the phone number for Cooper Systems. GP's been sending people there for years because Lee and Lauren Cooper are nice folks. We'll take care of all your computer needs. They got a new shipment in recently with all of your name brands where you can pay a whole lot less than you would at a big box store, Apple, Lenovo, Dell, all of that. Want a printer? It's funny. Do you need a printer, Jeffrey? In this, like, who are you going to hand your printing stuff? I still use a printer.
Oh yeah, especially for these types of shows, and especially for radio broadcasts when doing football games.
So you still
games.
Use a printer?
Oh yeah.
Get the printer at Cooper Systems. Phone number 360-9679. 360-9679. They're in the Mount Moriah Office Park. Joined now by Gary Parrish. He is the host of GP Show 4 to 6 every single day. National college basketball columnist for CBSSports.com. Multiple Emmy-winning television personality, rising star in the field of meteorology, joins me now. GP, how are you?
I'm great. You know who uses printers a lot?
Who?
Parents who homeschool for the first time ever.
Oh.
We've had a printer that we like barely use. It's just there, and now we use it, you know, all day, every day, because you're constantly having to print out worksheets for the kids to do. So, like, the printer's getting a lot of use these days.
That's interesting to me, because I was thinking, because when I was talking about printers, I was thinking, like, people don't print and use things at work anymore, right? You just literally, if you did less anyway, because you would just email files, but you don't have to print something out, give it to, like, who are you printing for? But you're exactly right. The new boom market in printers is homeschooling your kids. So you're printing stuff every day. Is that what you get?
Yeah.
You get worksheets? Give them worksheets?
Yeah, I mean, you know, we're talking with first grade, so it's a lot of, you know, worksheets. Like, we've got worksheets printed out. Kelly's in charge of the printing. She handles all that. And then, like, I'm now in charge of doing the work with Oliver, you know, when I get off the phone with you. So, we print a lot. In fact, I just sort of realized how much we were printing relative to our normal lives, and just out of curiosity went on Amazon to look at printers. And they were almost all sold out, but lots of them were, like, not in stock right now, not available till October 13th. There apparently has been a big demand on printers because a lot of parents are doing what we're doing right now.
Okay. So listen. People are mad that there weren't more people out in the Liberty Bowl, right? And maybe that many people weren't mad. But some clearly were mad. It seemed like a lot of people are mad. Certainly in the Memphis core fan base, there's a lot of people who seem to be mad that there couldn't have been more people there Saturday. And listen, at some level, I understand the frustration, because you look at the stadium, it's not just people are 12 feet apart. There's vast tracts of empty seats. And then beyond that, you look around, and if you're cherry picking, you can find schools that allow a lot more fans, right? Tennessee, Ole Miss, et cetera. Now, they haven't started yet, but they're hypothetically going to allow a lot more fans, okay? So, and then you look and you see movie theaters. Like, movie theaters, you can sit 6 feet apart. It's indoors. Like, logically, as we think about that, does that make sense, et cetera? Like, why exactly movie theaters and dining indoors? Why? And so I actually understand it. I understand some level of frustration and sort of raising an eyebrow about it. I think, though, if you're outraged about it, I'm coming at it from a place where if you're outraged about it, fundamentally, what I believe is that you don't really take the COVID-19 seriously. Fundamentally, you just don't really, you're not scared of it. You're not scared of it on behalf of society. And you may not be a person who still says it's the flu, although a woman named Anne Brand said UE look at COVID fatality rate data showing it is the same as the flu. She just tweeted that at me. So,
those people are the absolute worst. And what they do is they get information from people who are intentionally misleading them, and they take it and they think that they figured something out. Like, 180-something thousand Americans have died in the past 6 months from this disease. That's not the flu. Shut the F up. Like, I can't even get on Facebook anymore because I hate people I'm actually friends with. Like that, people that I know, people that, like, if I see somewhere, I'll say, hey, how you doing? But I don't want to see their idiotic comments because it makes me actually despise them. So I just avoid it completely.
Well, I had to. I mean, I'm. You know, I mean, I know you always make fun of me for going back and forth on Twitter with people, but I find it so outrageous. So many of the things that I see on Twitter, like. They've never told us why 12 feet as opposed to 6. Well, they have, like a million times, told you why 12 feet instead of 6 feet. You may not believe it. Like, there's a lot. But then again, then I ask, who are you? Mr. Epidemiologist. I'm like, what qualifies anyone to say? I get this all the time. 6 feet's enough. 6 feet's plenty. What qualifies you to say 6 feet is plenty? But here's the point. If you were really scared of the thing, if you really took it seriously, you wouldn't muster any of these arguments. You wouldn't be outraged. You'd say, oh, good, I'm glad they're being cautious, right? Like, wouldn't you really, if you really believed in this? Like, when they're sending people up into, when you're getting on an airplane, right, and you know that they have 17 different kinds of safety checks on the airplane, you're not saying, we don't need 17, that, you know, you only need 2 safety checks on an airplane because you know you could die. So you're glad for every single safety thing that they have on an airplane, right? You're not arguing with the safety things. You're grateful that they're cautious because you could die. Here, my fundamental view is what it reveals is how many people, they not wear a mask in the grocery store because they have to, but they really don't believe in this thing.
No, that's our country right now. It is also why our country is not operating like so many other countries are who have dealt with this same virus. You know, we have not taken this seriously from the jump. When we pretended that we were going to, it didn't last long enough and it wasn't thorough enough. And so here we are all these months later. And like, you know, I've got a 6-year-old running around downstairs right now. It's depressing. Like, and it's not, you know, it you would think after our kids couldn't go to school and the Big Ten and Pac-12 decided not to play football, like you would reach a point where you go, oh, wow, this must be more serious than I realized early on. I better open my eyes. But, like, those people are so dug in now. And, again, they're intentionally misled by certain people with certain agendas, starting at the very top of the federal government. And it's just a sad state of affairs. Like, I know people love to say, like, we're the greatest country on earth, and God, it just doesn't feel like it sometimes, you know, particularly in the year 2020.
Well, then the other thing they say is that, like, they say to me is, like, well, then stay in your basement, you know? Well, I've never been the stay-in-the-basement guy. Like, I've never been that. I've gone to grocery stores. I order takeout. I didn't argue that they shouldn't play college football. I did argue that they shouldn't. I was fine with there being a football game Saturday, and I was fine with there being 4,500 people at the. I'm not stay in the basement guy. But there's a difference between stay in the basement and put 25,000 people in one place in a pandemic, which strikes me as freaking insane.
Yeah, like I got a tweet from some guy who tweets me nonsense all the time. Like, if you tweet me all the time and I've never responded to you, there's a good chance I don't care what you think about anything. You're never going to enlighten me. So, like, just stop. One of the biggest misconceptions with Twitter is people think because they care what you think that you care what they think. I don't care what you think. But, like, this guy still thinks I need to hear from him almost every day. And he was like, you know, at some point you're going to have to admit you were wrong when you were saying they shouldn't play college football. I'm like, I literally never said they shouldn't play college football. I said that they should listen to the best medical minds in the country, health officials, and let them guide them. And if they said you can't play football, then yes, I don't think you should be playing college football. But if they say there is a way to do this, so let's try it, I've never once said don't play college football. I've said don't play high school football. That seems ridiculous. But playing college football, given the money that's at stake, I understand that in this world right now, we're all having to balance, you know, the this versus this, the risk versus the reward. And I understand the reward of playing college football is pretty gigantic. So I understand attempting it. But what I don't understand is putting tens of thousands of people into a stadium and pretending we're not in the middle of a pandemic. And for the Memphis fans who are frustrated that Ole Miss might try to do that, and why can't Memphis do that? Well, you know, I'm sure that somebody who lives on my street had a big pool party yesterday. But I didn't have a big pool party yesterday. And just because they did, it doesn't mean it's sensible for me to do it, at least in my mind. And so, and like you pointed out in the opening segment, like, basing your argument on what SEC schools are doing is, like, kind of ridiculous. Like, they are, or at least appear to be, the most reckless when it comes to this. It doesn't mean it won't go well. But it does mean that, you know, you're
it's
not going to be able to fuck.
It's the riskiest, so everybody should do the single riskiest thing, you know? Like, yeah.
Right. I promise you can't find one health official who was advising the Pac-12 that thinks it's smart for SEC schools to put as many fans as they are planning to put into a stadium. You couldn't find one
now,
to sign off.
Okay, but how about this, though? You can find the SEC health people. Obviously, they're not doing it unless they have health people who signed off on it, right? Don't you believe that? I do believe that. Like, I think there are SEC. And so, again, I'm not saying this stuff is unanimous. There's obviously some health people at UT who say we can have more than – I mean, that's true. There's got to be. They didn't say, screw you, and lock their health people in the closet.
Yeah, but my understanding is that – The leagues that decided not to play football were advised almost exclusively by independent sources, whereas the leagues that have decided to play football have more like we're paying you to do this. And so, you know, I'm not saying this is what happened. I'm saying others have suggested this is what happened. Hey, you know where your money comes from. Maybe you need to tell us what we want to hear, you know, and that you can, in any walk of life, you can be influenced by that. And so there's some thought that the leagues that are playing football were, they got the answers they wanted to hear, and the leagues that aren't playing football were advised by more independent sources.
NFL week starts this week. What do you just predict ratings? Do you think ratings are going to be up, going to be steady, going to be down? Like, what do you think the NFL, like, it is the Colossus. And I don't know, what do you expect?
Big numbers. I mean, the NFL, a live NFL is about the best thing you can, if not the best thing you can put on American television. So I would assume that they do really, really well. Because, from watching college football over the past few days, you can shoot football in a way that doesn't, you're not constantly reminded nobody's there, you know, like particularly when they're playing in the middle of the field. Like when you get down to the end zones and red zone, you can start to see the empty seats. At least that was the case at Memphis, for the Memphis game. But as long as they're in the middle of the field, like you can shoot that in a way that it just looks like football. And so I think it'll work well on television. And then like people love the NFL, people love fantasy, people love to bet on it. And so I would assume the numbers are going to be comparable to what they have been, if not even better.
You then did watch the Memphis game. I was interested. I was there, and it was, I'll be honest, like I felt privileged to be there. It was a beautiful night. I talked to a lot of people through my mask from a distance, and different people had different feelings about it. I mean, you're wistful. It was emotional. You really did miss everybody. Like, I obviously didn't see the television experience, and I'm really intrigued by it. What was it like as a television experience?
Well, like in between the 20s, you can shoot it where you don't see the stands at all. It just looks like a football game. Like you turn it on at certain moments, and you couldn't tell if it's 2020 or 2019. Like the only difference, and it's not a noticeable difference unless you're comparing it A to B. On a normal, say, SEC game, you know, the play is run, and then you might get a crowd shot of, you might get cheerleader shot, or you might get a shot of, some fans, with a funny hat on, like whatever. Now you don't get those shots. It's like first down, running play, tackle, now let's go shoot the coach. Let's ISO on the defensive coordinator. You're not going into the crowd for those shots that you would get in a normal broadcast. But if you're just watching the game and you have no context for what it's supposed to look like, it does not, for the most part, you're not aware that it's happening in an almost entirely empty stadium. Whereas when you watch baseball, like, the stands are unavoidable. Home runs, foul balls, even the shot from behind center field that you get for every pitch of every game. Like, you can't, you know, the cardboard cutouts, I think, work remarkably well. It just kind of looks like people are there, even though you know it, they're not. But some teams aren't using cardboard cutouts at all, so it's just empty, and you see it nonstop. With football, I don't think you're going to see it nonstop because there's a way to shoot it where the shots of empty seats are minimal.
The people calling the game were not there. Was that weird? Could you tell?
Yes, you can. I can tell because I know what it sounds like. I could tell. Yes, but I don't think it's that big of a deal. Like with basically, like I watch baseball every day, and the Mets broadcasters for road games are never, they're not on the road. They are broadcasting from Citi Field, and so they're just watching on a screen. And there's some moments where. There was one moment last week where a guy hit a fly ball to center, and the center fielder started going backwards. And so they were basing their movement they were basing what they thought was happening based on what the center fielder was doing. He just misjudged it. And the play-by-play guy just said, you guys have to understand, we're not seeing this with our own eyes, so we're watching what the center fielder is doing and reacting to him. So when he misjudges it, I'm going to misjudge it as well. So there's some little things that make it more difficult, but you get used to it. I think by game three, if not sooner, you won't be able to really recognize any tangible difference between broadcasters being, live and, at the scene or in a studio somewhere. And by the way, they've been doing this for certain sporting events. Pre-COVID-19, like there are college basketball games that are on ESPN, like ESPN News or ESPN2, that sometimes don't have broadcasters in the building. They're actually, in Bristol somewhere. So this isn't something that is totally unique to COVID-19. In certain cases, this has been going on for a little while.
Were they nice to Memphis? Were they complimentary of our beloved Memphis Tigers and the city of Memphis? Well, did they have – Jeffrey didn't really notice. Like, did they have shots of Beale Street kind of thing? Like, maybe you didn't notice. I mean, you're fathering there too. Like,
yeah, like I was juggling a lot of stuff on Saturday night. So, like, I was watching the NBA. Like, there was a time where I had NBA on the big TV with volume and Memphis on the smaller TV muted. So I didn't hear every word. And I didn't see every shot. But from what I heard, like when it comes on, it looks like a football game. And, of course, they were complimentary of Memphis because there's a lot of things to be complimentary about. It has been operating at relatively speaking, at the top of the sport for several years in a row.
Did you bet the Derby?
I did not. I don't enjoy in tying up, like betting $10 on something doesn't really do anything for me. Like I just don't care. But then betting real money for, 2 minutes seems like I've been to the Derby. And so that's a fun experience. But on the site I use, you can't like bet trifectas and stuff. You're just betting horses to win. So I just, unless I'm there, I just sit it out. I did not bet on it. And I don't know if you saw the ratings. Were way down, like cut in half.
Yeah. Why?
Yes. I don't know the answer to that. I know what I saw somebody tweet, and
I guess it would be the time. Like, the Derby is supposed to be, to me, the Derby is something that happens in this particular time of year, and, and that's why we watch the Derby. And if you just tuck in the Derby in the fall, I suspect. Now, it'll be interesting, the Masters, what happens with the Masters? Like, will Masters be ratings be down when it comes along? I don't really know. That would be my guess why the Derby was down.
That is what this person suggested, is that, and this person was suggesting it in defense of the NBA. Like, listen, the person said, not a single horse took a knee for the national anthem, all right? But the ratings were still down. Like, it's just, you're not used to watching that thing this time of the year. And it's true with the Kentucky Derby, and it is also true with the NBA. The idea that we're watching the conference semifinals in September is an unusual thing. The games are starting at unusual times. Like, it's why I never paid attention to the first round of the playoffs were down. Yeah, well, half the games were, you know, in the middle of, like, Tuesday afternoon. Like, that's not normal. It'll probably never be that way again. So, I don't know exactly the reason Derby TV ratings were way down, I mean, significantly down. But the best explanation I saw was that it's just a time of the year where people aren't wired to watch that, and so they didn't.
Well, it'll be interesting to see what happens with the NFL, because I don't know if you saw this.
So much of the Derby broadcast is like beautiful people and beautiful outfits.
It's springtime. You know, it's all that too. You know, and whatever else. Yeah. It's also like the red carpet for the
Oscars. It's a big celebrity. Like, oh, who's wearing what hat, whatnot.
So you miss all of that. Like, Tom Brady is not showing up there with three of his bros all decked out in nice suits and hats. So you miss all of that. And when you don't have any of that, all you have is a 2-minute horse race.
Right.
I will say it
was interesting to me. Everybody told me that Tiz the Law was going to win. Like, if there's any lock in the world, it was that Tiz the Law was going to win. It's why they play the games, GP. It's why you have to have a college football playoff and couldn't just pick a champion without a real college football playoff. Because what you think you know, whether it comes down to horses or football teams, you may not know.
Jeff, Authentic ain't played nobody.
What?
Authentic hasn't played anybody.
Authentic ain't played anybody. Mm-hmm. Exactly right. Gary, thanks very much. We appreciate it. Nice to talk to you today, and have a good day.
I'll see you.
Bye-bye. Chris Harrington coming up next on the show, and then we'll talk NFL after that. Chris Harrington.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.